Let's start recording now. So there are stages of self-awareness. And one of the kind of the first stage of self-awareness is you act a certain way and you have all kinds of feelings and somebody confronts you about that and you deny it. And then 3 weeks later, you go, you know what? When they confronted me on that, I think they were right. That's stage one of self-awareness. Stage two of self-awareness is you have a series of feelings and thoughts and behaviors, and nobody confronts you about it. And a week or two later, you realize it on your own. And you go, oh, I think I was doing this for this reason. And that's what was really coming up for me. And that's stage two of self-awareness. And then stage three of self-awareness is the most advanced stage. And by the way, they're all on a continuum, but I'm roughly staging them. Is in the moment, I notice what feelings, thoughts, and beliefs and reactions are happening in the moment. And I'm aware of them as they come up so that I can work with them. So remember, a huge part of self-awareness is making the subject an object. That thing that is inside you, that is identified with you, that you cannot see, it will become something outside of you. And you can name it, see it, feel it, and work with it rather than it working with you. And so that's how, like, if I'm able to name, like, oh, I was really angry. I'm really angry right now. That's, I'm seeing that anger. I'm not just acting on the anger. I'm actually naming it, observing it, seeing it. And now I can start to use it. Sometimes I need to use it directly and let the anger really come out. And other times I need to let the anger set off to the side and work with it in a different way, because it's actually going to be really toxic if I bring that level of anger to this conversation. And so a lot of the work that we're doing in this entire training, everything about this program is really designed to increase that level of self-awareness and to keep working that muscle. And to be clear, there are going to be moments where the more you do this work, the more natural that third stage self-awareness becomes. And when you have that, you actually have the ability to navigate really complex, fast-moving conversations, because you can feel in the moment, like, oh, so what's happening? I'm seeing this, I'm feeling that, I'm needing that. And let me see what I need to bring to the conversation. Okay, so that brings our hard conversations training to a close. Feel free to ask any questions now. We can questions about the training itself, questions about the hard conversation you're bringing to the table. If you're wanting me to workshop, like, hey, how would you have done this differently? I'm happy to kind of show you how I might do it. There's usually 10 different ways to do it. I'll pick one. Or we can just talk about anything else that's coming up for you guys.
It was really helpful for me, Shane. I was able to kind of take the framework and think about multiple recent conversations and kind of run through it all the same and kind of spot the consistencies and was a little bit different about all of them. I think this week's in conjunction with last week's was really, really helpful. I appreciate you. Thank you for kind of painting this picture. I know it's a big topic, but finding my main takeaway is just finding more opportunities to set the stage where these aren't necessary. So like the learnings from these. So my thinking for you is, I think all of us here can think of multiple times we've had hard conversations. Do you have a mindset for what we can take from the resolution of them, whether they were good or bad, and apply it towards, circumventing this altogether?
Yeah, I would say that you can't circumvent it altogether.
Yeah, maybe not forever, but how can we reduce
it? Yeah. I mean, you can make hard conversations a whole lot easier. In a lot of ways, for me, the at the heart of it all is self-awareness. And that awareness comes in the form of being on the lookout for missing conversations or being on the lookout for how a conversation might have gone wrong. And when you can and need to, have a do-over for the conversation that went wrong. You know, obviously, Dorothy, if you've already exited somebody, you don't need to have a follow-up from them, but maybe it went wrong and they're still an employee and you want to revisit that, that's a do-over. And you simply say, hey, I think I had a conversation with you that didn't go the way I wanted it to, and I'd love a chance to have a do-over. Is that something you can afford, you can give me? Is that something you're up for?
And yeah. Yes. So the conversation I use as an example was kind of a two-parter. And the first part of the conversation was with both of our media buyers. And then we had a private conversation with one of them. But the other one, who was there for the first half, which I also did not handle well, I ended up apologizing to him on Monday, for how the conversation went and kind of re-clarifying, you know, what I shared. And it ended up being really good that I did so, because he kind of then opened up about how that conversation landed on him, which was, you know, just extremely negative. And, I think it really kind of possibly even strengthened our relationship that I like kind of owned up to, like, hey, I did not handle that well. And, you know, I'm sorry for that.
That's awesome. Yes. That's the crazy thing. Hard conversations can actually deepen intimacy and deepen trust when you handle them well. And even when you repair them, the trust goes up. So thanks for pointing that out. That's a really big one. Jim, I'm not sure I answered your question though.
You reinforced it. I think I was just looking for an opportunity to better understand how to take full advantage of the awareness of this. I'm definitely good right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I for sure having that kind of worksheet, just print it out if you want. You can look at it anytime you want as like a framing for any time you know you got to have a hard conversation. And you know, Jim, when you're dealing with clients, bonus five, which I will do a training on later in this program, which is how to manage up and across. There are some subtleties around how you communicate through power that can also be quite helpful. But you know, this training is really just general hard conversations. There's a next training we're going to do is actually specific around how to have performance conversations. So this is more, Dorothy, what you're talking about. We can put a finer point on when you are speaking down through power. Now you have effectively your whisper is a shout. So anything you say is actually amplified considerably when you have power over someone. When you have power under your entire, yeah, that's right, Allie. It's for sure important. When you have power under someone, your message gets forked. And they will listen to it in one of two ways. The first way they listen is, I'm listening. I care about what you have to say. And the second way is, I'm suspicious about what your motives actually are and why you're saying this. And there are ways to use language patterns to do an end around that filter so that what you mean to say is actually heard the way you want it to be heard. And we get into that in later trainings. But if you're needing that urgently, it's bonus five of the training. And you can review that there then. So good. What else is going on?
Really
what
quick. Really quick. So I have a lot of thinking about a conversation. And I sort of realized that maybe the difficult conversation that I have is that I just don't know what I don't know because I'm new to this role, right? I'm within that 90 days. But there's just some people and groups. And so I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, I think I could ramble on a bit more about what I mean, but it's not necessarily one single conversation, but it's like, it's just, yeah, what is that for?
Yeah.
One of the possibilities, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You're actually, what I would say that is most critical for you is you're going to find in bonus one, which is the first 90 days success plan. And what the first 90 days success plan does is it helps you structure the conversations you need to have when you are getting clarity around your role, which you will need to do. Your organization has really low structure and a lot of kind of expectation that you just do a certain thing without actually knowing what's going on. And the main thing that you're going to be looking for is clarity around expectations. So expectations alignment is actually, I think, the primary series of conversations that you'll need to have. And that bonus right. along with the workbook will actually detail the exact kinds of conversations you need to be having in order to ensure that your expectations are aligned. So I would say at that 40,000 foot view, when you say, I don't even know what I don't know, that's a very classic, I need to get expectations aligned. What I mean by expectations are, what am I empowered to do? What am I accountable for? What am I responsible for? What are you responsible for? What should I expect of you? What should you expect of me? That's all those conversations that I think are still outstanding for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have all of that outlined. It's just a matter of actually knowing about it. forgot, but this was great. Very helpful. Thank you so much. See y'all next week, I think.
You're most welcome. Yeah. And that's all it is. Just so you know, expectations alignment is a series of conversations marked by misunderstanding. Right. That's what it is. So if you have one conversation, don't assume that because you walk away understanding it, they have the same understanding. They often don't. So that's why you just want to check in again and go, hey, I just want to revisit this. When you use that word, did you mean this? Because I meant that. And over time, you start that aligned. And so as long as you set that expectation for yourself, that expectations alignment is a series of conversations marked by misunderstanding, it's not quite as frustrating or disappointing. It's just like, oh yeah, that's part of the process.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely makes sense. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, Shane, time for my episode with my employee, one of five on my team that I'm still just not aligned with. And going back to kind of the five leadership languages, I had everybody on the team take the quiz. This person is mentoring, which is exactly what I pegged when we were going through the training. I was like, I know it. I know this person is mentoring. And you mentioned asking for them to like provide their key learning objectives. Like, what are they looking to get? And before I even had them take the quiz, I asked them that in our one-on-one because it was right after this meeting originally. And I got that from them at the next meeting. And at the next meeting, I also went over their five leadership languages, right? And I was like, I pegged you for mentoring. That's why I asked you the question from the last session. Like, and so I was trying to build a connection there. I feel like, and like we've been talking about today and the conversations that are missing or have gone wrong, I don't think she wants to work with me anymore, but she wants to work with my boss. And we've talked about this, Shane, where I said, like, how do I get my boss to stop? And I've told my boss to stop and she doesn't. And she says she will and she doesn't. So, but with this employee, I'm still like, she gave me her key learning objectives, which is a lot of, she has no experience. The year of experience that she has is working under me, right? So, but she wants all of these key learning objectives that take time to develop, right? She wants to know how to handle escalated team members and do employee relations, et cetera. And it's like, okay, those are on a case by case basis. And like, I will loop you into those, but I can't just snap my fingers and have you know how to do that, you know?
Yes. Okay. So Sierra, thank you. You're jogging my memory about the conversation we've already had. Thank you for that. So do you have a sense for why she doesn't want to work with you?
In our last couple of sessions, right, I'm more of the dictator style, right? I'm very direct and straightforward, and she's very, not very, and inexperienced, right? So she's looking for that mentor type, and I can tell that she's looking for that mentor type, but I'm a direct communicator and she doesn't want that. She wants some roundabout communication, which I'm trying, but my boss does that better. Just, I know that, right? Like that's, she's a great mentor type person. So because my boss gives her that access, she's like, well, I don't need Sierra. I need Sierra's boss, and just continues to like seek out that relationship. And it feels like giving up on a relationship with me.
Yeah. And she will give up on that relationship as long as the boss continues to behave that way. So it sounds like you've tried to have the conversation with your boss and they're unwilling to behave in the way you've agreed to. And as a consequence, that will always afford this person a chance to talk to the boss. And so they will do an end around with you every time. So I think it's well worth having a conversation with your boss that simply says, hey, it looks like this arrangement where we had this agreement, it doesn't look like it's something that we can enact and hold that agreement. And so what I'd like to suggest is formally have you report, have her report to you. If you would like her to still report to me, then we've got to find a new way to honor the agreements we're making. And that way you're getting kind of a neutral either or. I'm happy to support either way, but this way is having a pretty negative effect. I can't meaningfully manage a person who has the ability to ignore me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say another thing, Sierra, how long have you been doing what you do?
I've been doing what I do, HR management, for about 10 years.
Okay. So you're managing in the HR world, you're managing HR professionals.
Yeah. I'm an HR manager and I have HR specialists and payroll specialists who report to me.
Got it. Okay. So you probably already know this, but I mean, the HR world is notorious for being moving towards, right? Like, of the three main things, away, towards, and against, HR is pretty natural around moving towards. Like, it draws people that are thinking about people and feelings and emotions and culture and stuff like that. And so oftentimes somebody who's moving against as a natural tendency can really get misunderstood. Do you feel misunderstood ever?
Yes.
Yeah. That's my feeling from you, is that there's a lot of misunderstanding. Whereas if you were in, like, say, construction, you'd be really easily understood, right? They'd be like, great. Yeah. Tell me which way to go, right? Why are we mincing words? Let's just talk about what it is.
Yeah.
And so I think in the world that you're in, your upward mobility is directly linked with your ability to create more mobility in the way that you interact with people. So that means continuing to learn to integrate and soften language patterns. So I'll give you a really quick example. And I don't know if this is the phrase you said to her, so I'm not trying to pick on you here at all, but I wanted to just mirror this a little bit, which is when you said, I had you pegged for mentoring. That language pattern is quite literally, I nailed you to the wall. I pegged you. And that, when you do that with somebody who's, when you're revealing their needs, their underlying needs, their personality, the something that's deeply personal to them, it's usually energetically experienced as quite combative in a way you don't mean. You're just like, no, all I'm saying is I respect it. I got it. Like, I got it right. I figured that out about you by watching you. And what happens is it feels really exposing and quite intense.
Yeah.
And so does that make sense?
Yeah.
So another way to say that is, instead of coming in with direct knowing all the time about someone, which, by the way, you probably have, because you're really good at reading people and you understand what's happening and you've got a sophisticated read of a lot of stuff, is when you're dealing with understanding people, coming with a kind of, I wonder, like a little more curiosity and a little more maybe, and a little more suggesting. Those tones, what they do is they soften you. And so someone like me, who's an expert in the Enneagram, and I created the five leadership languages and I can read people really quickly, a lot of people start to feel like that's me reading their mail and it feels invasive. So what I'm always doing is, even though I already know the answer, I'll soften myself a little bit on purpose to say, you know, I wondered if you didn't have mentoring as a language. That's really interesting. And it looks like it is. Right. So I wondered if is different than I had you pegged. I nailed you. Yep. Can you feel that qualitative difference?
Yeah. And I know that it'll make a really big impact for her. I just don't, like, I've been working with this team member for a year now. Right. And I went out on a maternity leave during this too. And during my maternity leave, of course, she worked with my boss directly because there wasn't anybody else. We have another department opening up in learning, right? And I look at her key learning objectives and I'm like, you want to be in the learning and development department. How can I make that happen for you? And I've started that conversation with her. I'm kind of like, I really like this team member. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think she's added so much value to the team, and I think she's a value add to the company, similar to what Dorothy said. Like, but when I came back from maternity leave, there were a bunch of things that she did wrong and a bunch of missed deliverables that my boss couldn't see that I came back and found. And it was like, crap, we need to do some performance management. And my boss agreed at the time, and that whole thing went another way, right? But I'm just like, I wonder if this relationship, I don't know that it's salvageable, and I don't know how.
You may be right. It may not be salvageable, largely because your boss is effectively undermining you. Yeah. Not malicely, but just she's undermining you. It's pretty straightforward. And so it may be unsalvageable for that reason alone. I think if your boss could have your back and actually honor the agreement, you have the potential to salvage it. But as long as that end around is there, you're right. You're going to get walked around, which I think is super unfair. And I'm sorry you're having to go through that.
Other four team members are great. Funny enough, two out of four of them are performance like me, right? So I'm like, this is great. This is wonderful. We work well together. And totally. Even the other two, they're not mentoring. That one's just hard for me because I think it's just my style is just really hard with the mentoring.
Yeah, it can be. It depends. But let me ask another thing. So first of all, I think it's great that you've got some team members that have your same style and it makes it really easy and you got a lighter lift. That's good. But in terms of if your objective is upward mobility and you'd like to have more influence and power and authority and pay raises and all that stuff, you will have to develop. It's why you're in the program. You'll have to develop the skills that allow you to masterfully work with a wide range. The wider range, the better. So that you can adapt your style accordingly. So let me just try a little experiment. Do you have kids by chance?
I have a 2-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and a 7-month-old.
So what I would love to hear, and you don't have to do this on the call, but I want you to just do this as a thought experiment. I'd love to hear how your voice sounds when you're speaking to your 7-month-old that just needs to be calmed down from crying.
Sure. It's funny you say that. My boss tells me, I love when you use your mom voice. If I'm like on a call with her after hours and my son comes in.
You just shifted there. I just heard it, by the way. You softened. So your tone is really directive, as you know, right? And it actually shows up energetically in your voice. So your voice feels forceful. Yeah. Even if you said the right words, the energy behind your voice is creating force. And that's part of what makes you so powerful and effective in so many contexts. It's part of what, performers love working under you because they can feel the force and they want that force. But like your 7-month-old who's crying and just needs to be comforted, you intuitively and instinctively know that that amount of force would actually make more tears. And so your body softens. Quite literally, your breath deepens and your voice opens. And I could hear it when you were talking. And it was really beautiful. And I'll just pause for a minute. Are you feeling that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want you to know that you've got this really beautiful asset that if you start to deploy it increasingly, not always, right? It's not like an always, it's just start to bring that part of you into the office periodically. So there's a little trick that I'm going to have you do for a moment. Okay. Are you ready to do a little bit of this work?
Yep.
Is that okay? Okay.
Yep.
So for a moment, I want you to close your eyes, put your feet on the floor and take a nice deep breath into your belly. And I want you to, for a moment, imagine that you're holding your 7-month-old in your arms. Okay. And I want you to feel rock your body a little bit. How would you hold that 7-month-old when the 7-month-old is kind of giggling and smiling and happy to be with you? And I want you to just feel your body and what your body is like when you're holding that. What's your baby's name?
Kaylee.
When you're holding Kaylee, I want you to kind of feel it. Can you feel that in your body right now?
Yeah.
Good, good. Okay. And can you feel the way in which the cells in your body are just relaxed and lighter?
Yes.
Good. And can you hear your voice when you said yes just then?
Yes.
You feel the way it's just softened and opened?
I do.
Good, good, good. Okay. Great. That's just what I needed. state break. Good. So now what I want you to do is... I want you to create a kind of physical anchor. I want you to stay in that state. Are you still in that state?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. So if you want, you can simply tap a finger on one of your knuckles, or you can just clench your fist, make a clenched fist. So pick an anchor, something physically you will do in this state. Go ahead and choose that. Have you got it chosen?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead and execute that anchor. And when you do that, I want you to remember that every time you do that anchor, you will activate in your body, all the cells in your body will align to the experience and the state that you're in right now. And you'll actually begin to bring that softness, that openness, that power, that incredible vast amount of nurturing power into your body. So can you feel that in you now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So go ahead and open your eyes, staying in the state. Take a deep breath. Good, good, good. Okay. So this is the beginning of when you enter into a new conversation with somebody where you sense that maybe you're getting misunderstood or maybe it's just not going that well, where you can just, whatever the anchor was, deploy the anchor, execute it, press the knuckle, clench your fist, whatever you need to do, and let your body feel that state, let your voice soften, and then come to that person from that place. And watch as it begins to shift the relationship. And by the way, it's okay if this relationship is past salvaging because you're boss. You're going to need this skill in any time in the future of your work. And you will even need it with people who are high performer based. And the reason is because what you're connecting to is your heart and your humanity. And I cannot stress enough how powerful it is, how much more people want to follow you when you lead from heart. And that doesn't mean you get rid of the other techniques. It just means that you need this one online in a big way, especially in the world of HR. But if even as you get higher in a business, the more this is going to become your superpower. So I'm going to pause there and let you push back, feedback. What are you thinking and feeling of everything I said?
You're right. I'm at a loss for words.
Okay. Could anybody else in the group that's listening, could you hear the shift in Sierra's tone and her voice? Okay, I've got a heart from Jim. I don't know if looks like Allie's not on anymore.
Yeah, absolutely heard the shift in your tone. It was beautiful. I agree.
Dorothy, were you able to hear that? I don't know if you were. Yep, definitely.
Yes, so definitely.
Dorothy can feel that too. So this is like this deeper leadership stuff that I do that can be unbelievably transformative. It's not really technique as much as it is like connection and feeling and state work. So this is true for all of us, right? So every one of us can learn what are those other states that we don't use a lot, that we don't trust, that we can actually bring to bear. So Sierra, thank you so much for your vulnerability, your honesty, and your trust with those of us. And we see you, we appreciate you, and I love the work you're doing. I mean, that's really courageous work, and I think it's going to make a huge difference. So I would say anytime you talk to that team member, activate that state and bring that tone to her and bring that softness, because I think it will shift what's happening.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks who
for
else?
Working through that with me today, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Got just a couple more minutes. Anybody else want to share anything more? You can either feedback on what you just heard, ask questions.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost embarrassed to ask this because I feel like I really screwed up. But as you know, we have our new director of operations starting in January, and she will have two direct reports, Jim and then our media buyer, Rohan. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me, and I might be totally off base, but I'm not sure that I've actually clearly communicated to Rohan that he will be reporting into this new role. And we're going to have a one-on-one on Friday. And my thinking around the one-on-one was we do one every month, but you know, I wanted to just make sure that I'm, you know, giving him space to share like any feelings he has about, you know, this transition and stuff. And then it occurred to me like, holy shit, I don't know that I've even communicated clearly that he is going to be reporting into her. So, yeah.
Very common. Just so you know, Dorothy, don't feel bad. It happens a lot. Really, really important. So here's what I want you to understand. The moment that we change who someone reports to. Emotionally, what happens is you have fired that person and rehired them for a job they didn't apply to.
Yeah.
And the reason is because 70% of our work experience is derived from our direct boss. Yeah. People leave bosses, not companies. People join bosses, not companies. It's super, super important who someone is reporting to. So that's the thing that I want you to be aware of when you have that conversation. Now, I may have overstated it a little bit, but it's designed to do that, to help you think anytime you restructure, you want to assume that it's really intense. And it may not be for him. He may be like, oh, okay, yeah, fine, whatever. Or it may be like, wow, like the whole reason I came to this company was to work with you. And now you're telling me this is the person who's going to set my salary and figure out whether I'm performing. And I don't even know this person. If I'd known that, I would have, you know, that can happen. And so you want to have, I would say, starting with, hey, I want to recognize that this is an oversight on my part. And I want to start with an apology. I really owed you this much sooner. And I didn't give, and it was just I was just being thoughtless. And I recognize that what I'm telling you could feel really significant. And I want you to understand why I think it's a really good thing. And I want you to know there's room for you to push back. I'm not saying that I can change the decision, but I do want to hear from you, right? So that's what I would recommend you do in order to have that. Does that make sense?
Yes, that absolutely makes sense. And I think one of the issues is that, like, we haven't really had a very clear structure. I mean, it's such a small team that I don't even know if he, like, if I asked him now, like, who's your boss? Like, I don't know if he would say me or if he would say John. Like, I think we've just had a little bit of like a lack of clarity just by virtue of it being such a small team and us all working so closely together. So yeah, I know that's an issue.
Yeah. And that's okay too. Like, and if you want to keep it really informal, that's fine. And so it's just a matter of how much structure you're going to create. And you might need to state that clearly, like, hey, here's how this is going to change. Like, I'm going to be less available in these ways for these reasons. Right. And this is the person I want you going to. Or you might just say, you're technically reporting to them, but it's kind of like a dotted line to me and you have lots of access and nothing really is going to change. That's fine too. You just want to understand that. So,
okay. That is, thank you so much.
Okay. All righty. Thank you everybody for your time, effort, and attention. Love you guys. We will talk to you next week. Okay.
Thanks so much, Shane. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.